I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome in. We're told that it might be Wednesday here on Sabres Live. Mm-hmm. With Marty, I'm Brian. Two in the NHL last night, two road wins. There's two more tonight. There's a new special assistant to the general manager for the Sabres, Marty.
Yeah, and I thought about you last night, Duffer. First of all, when it comes to the games. Am I on mute?
No, that's why you thought of me.
Oh, yeah, no. I was like, wait a second. I would have been really smart if I would have started the show on mute like yesterday on your birthday. But anyway, I thought of you last night because what is the one thing you've talked about all season long? Well, you've talked about many things, but come from behind wins, teams being able to win when down after two. Like last season in the playoffs last year, and I put it on Twitter yesterday, in the playoffs last year, there was 12 wins in the whole playoffs when a team was down after two periods. We're already at 13 this year, and the second round just started, right? So we've already passed what happened last year, and it is now more prevalent that teams with a two-goal lead are vulnerable. If you don't keep wanting to put it in the net and keep, you know, testing the other goalie, like Vegas is a 2-0 lead, and it's like they stop shooting. Like Calvin Pickard made one save in the second period.
Right.
That's not what you want to do. Washington, same thing. Like they had a 1-0 lead. Did they test Freddie Anderson? No. Maybe that's just the way the game went. But it just felt like the team that just sat back yesterday got nothing done.
Well, we'll get to that later. Allow me to say this for the second time. The Sabres have a new special assistant to the general manager.
Burying the lead, I think that's what we're talking
good
about.
I just
So Eric Staal comes in, lots of experience in the National Hockey League as a player, as a veteran player of late, you know, and the relationship with Kevin Adams. So look, it's not a big shakeup when you're looking at the front office. This is adding another voice, somebody that you trust if you're Kevin Adams, that you want to get more of a feel for what's around the league, right? When you're freshly retired, that person understands the league, understands players around the league, maybe in a different way. Players, you can ask players, but they're focusing about playing. They're focusing about their game. Ask a player that just been retired, it's a different story. They have maybe better opinions and more understanding of what's happening in other teams and with other players. So that's the hire that Kevin Adams has made, and we'll see. There could be more, you know, as it was mentioned, the meetings have happened, and Kevin Adams and Terry Pegula met, and they're still aligned. And, you know, I talked to Darren Dreger yesterday afternoon, and he said, look, Kevin said that they're still aligned, and, you know, he's the GM, and they still going in the right direction. You know, the organization still believes it's the right direction. So then you add a piece that's going to help with a voice, but it's not a major shakeup or shakedown, and it's not adding somebody of experience. It's just adding somebody you trust to the process.
Well, when one speaks of experience and looks at Eric Staal's resume, obviously they can remember the earliest days for him in his NHL career as he won a Stanley Cup with Carolina. There were times where it was very quiet for Eric at this time of year, but then towards the end, after time with the Rangers and Minnesota, ultimately Montreal and Florida were really nice pieces on his career resume at the back end of it all. We caught up with Eric a little earlier this morning. Eric, it would appear retirement from hockey has been short-lived for you. Was this kind of the plan all along?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I've always, you know, I have such a passion for the game and such a love for everything about hockey. And, you know, this opportunity I'm super grateful for. And, you know, I've got a great relationship with Kevin and, you know, talked a number of times since I've been done playing. And, no, you dive into everything post-hockey playing wise, and, you know, it's been such a treat to, you know, just be with my family, be with my kids, be around. And, but you still have a little itch and desire for, you know, for the professional game. You know, I've done it for so much of my life, and, you know, I feel like, you know, I can help in different ways that I'm excited about. So this is something that, you know, I thought maybe was a possibility, but obviously you need an opportunity and you need to, you know, get connected somewhere. And I'm just fortunate that, you know, Kevin's given me this chance to do what I can to help.
Did that itch somehow get heightened even more by how your career ended, which was two more trips to the Stanley Cup final and being that close? Like, Montreal in 21, Florida in 23. I think some people are very aware of your whole career body of work, but that's quite a way to go out with, you know, piling up the playoff games again.
Absolutely. You know, I think it also gives you an appreciation for how hard it is. And, you know, I knew that obviously as a young guy coming in, you're pretty wide-eyed and you're just taking it all in and learning as much as you can every moment. And I was fortunate to be on a phenomenal team with great leadership and great people and players. And we won a Stanley Cup. And then, you know, and then I go really long throughout my career without having a sniff again, really, until the last two of the last 3 years playing. And, you know, and so close to getting it again, but not being able to, it for sure added that motivation and that desire to try and win it again, because it's so special. And now obviously not being able to, you know, put the skates on and be out there, but have an opportunity in a different role, it's still important. I think, you know, that when you're done playing, how important every role is within an organization to have success. And it, you know, it starts with ownership, and then it continues to filter down throughout your organization to have success and win a championship. So, you know, I know that, and this is obviously a different role and a different opportunity, but it's still that nonetheless, and still important to have success. So it'll be fun. Still have a desire and an itch to win another Stanley Cup, and you know, that's what I'm going to try and help do with Buffalo.
What do you think you took away most from the two? We could go through all the teams because you obviously had such great personal success with Minnesota late in your career, but specifically with the Panthers and with Montreal, you know, what you saw within those organizations in those specific times, recognizing that the Montreal trip to the final was a COVID-shortened season and a different configuration as far as the divisions and whatnot.
You know what? Now being a couple of years removed from those teams, and you know, being on successful teams in the past, you know, what I do know is it's a tough league. It is a very, very fine line between winning and losing. And you know, when things aren't maybe going the way you hope, because every team has down times during the year. It's when those down times happen, you're able to rebound to get out of the rut real quick. And that may mean you're going to lose a couple more, but you're at least, you know, you're digging yourself out of the rut a little bit. I think there's, you know, ways throughout a season where there's nights where you just, as a team, you just know you need to get a W. And I think those teams that I was on, you know, Montreal and Florida, I mean, we I wouldn't say we, you know, were top of the division all year. We had a grind of a year where there were times in the year where there were games you just knew you had to get points. You had to get something out of the game to make sure you kept climbing the ladder in the standings. It's just a really, really fine line in the league. There's so many great teams, so many great players that, you know, when you're riding the high, you got to try and ride it as long as you can. And when you're down in the depths of a couple game losing streak, you got to try and work as hard as you can to get out. And I think those teams that I was on really understood that. We had players that understood that. And, you know, if you can get that out of the guys, you know, you get yourself in a good spot. And obviously playoffs, you get the momentum going your way, and it can carry you a long ways. So those are things I think that you learn as a player that are real important through the course of an 82-game season.
So what do you think in this role as special assistant to the GM, like – to exactly what you were just talking about, like in what ways do you think you'll be leaned upon here and able to add to the conversation and in what areas, be it off ice, on ice, in the room, you know, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that'll be up to Kevin in certain aspects as far as that goes. But, you know, I think just, you know, having someone like me with another voice or thought, reasoning, I mean, I've been fortunate to have been in the league for as long as I have been. I've got three brothers that are all in professional hockey. I've lived it my whole life, and you know, I feel like I've been on probably a few more teams than other guys, but also you build so many great relationships that way, and I think you can lean on that in difficult moments and in good moments. And I think you know, for me, it's just adding another voice, another thought, another idea that it may be moving forward, whether it be players or team-wise. You know, I'm just looking forward to kind of helping to contribute in any way I can, really. You know, I want to win another Stanley Cup. Now that I'm not playing, I want to win it on the other side. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to the opportunity and doing whatever I can to help in whatever area that is.
Do you think that there are areas of the game, though, that you are a little bit more interested in becoming, like, understanding of, whether that's, you know, players and contracts and things like that, or whether it's player development or it's scouting or, you know, whatever might be top of mind for you?
Yeah, you know, I think in this role, I'm pretty lucky, I would say, and fortunate. I feel like I'm going to get an opportunity to kind of see, you know, all aspects of how an organization runs and learn as much as I can, ask questions when I want. And, you know, like I said, I've got a great relationship with Kevin. He's a great person and a great hockey guy that's been in this for a while. And I'm just lucky that he's given me this chance to, you know, kind of see that other side. And, you know, I think being not that far removed from playing, I'm going to have a perspective that's maybe different than other guys as far as players themselves, players that maybe they're looking at or thinking about making moves towards or in that area. You know, I'm going to have, you know, relatively close experience to have been out there either with or against some of these guys. So I think that's valuable. But, you know, just, I think just seeing how it all works, you know, you're a player for so long and you're like, you always say, I'm never going to be on the other side. You're just playing. You're worried about that. And then all of a sudden you get old, like everybody. And then you're like, oh, well, I still love the game and still want to be involved. And this is just a great opportunity for me to be able to do that. And, you know, I'm just excited to join the group and help whatever way I can.
But you were also here for a brief period of time too. So how does that play into this and a willingness to come back here?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's unfortunate now looking back, you know, this situation that it was with COVID and the no fans and just the part of not being able to really invest in relationships with my teammates. We were all so segregated. We were around in the rinks and that was about it. But you never really got to connect with, you know, with guys' families and kind of all the things that you need to have when you're on a team. So that was difficult. Obviously the year I was there or the time I was there, it was, you know, within our own division, played a lot of really tough teams. We just didn't have enough to withstand what you need to have success. But I could tell, you know, the type of sports town Buffalo is. It's a phenomenal place to play hockey. I played in there enough as a road player. Conference finals in 06, that was absolutely amazing. I'll never forget the, you know, being in the hotel and how loud the downtown was with people just getting ready for playoff games. It was awesome, even as a road player. So it's a great sports town, and I'm just excited to, you know, join alongside these guys and hopefully continue to build something that the people of Buffalo can be proud of.
At the end of the day, the journey hopefully ends in winning. That's the goal for everybody. Do you think you have learned a difference in how to win over the course of your time in hockey? You referenced, you know, you were fortunate to get that taste early, but do you now see like a million different layers that it takes to get to winning?
Absolutely. You definitely learn a ton over, you know, the longevity that I had playing, and you learn, you know, when you try and bank the years that you had success and what made that success. And I think the number one thing that I could, you know, say right here would be the closeness that a team needs to have when you're, and that goes hand in hand, right? If you're having success, usually the team's a little closer. When you're not, it's a little bit more difficult. But if you can start on that page first, you know, I think it changes. So you need great people, you need great players, but you need to have that that team dynamic where you're willing to do the extra, you know, push each other in practice. Yes, it can be competitive, and you know, you're not always getting along in practice, but you're pushing each other to be better. And I think any team that I've ever had been on that's been successful is a really close-knit team, but a team that was highly competitive with each other in the right ways. And you know, that's what you want, and that's what you want to build in order to succeed and achieve what you want.
Do you have an itinerary yet? What's your first big assignment?
Nothing yet, but I think I'll be in town next week at the amateur meetings. I think they kind of give a lay of the land as far as getting ready, prepared for the amateur draft, which will be cool for me. I get to meet a lot of the guys that are obviously already within the organization and do some handshaking, but really just soak in. You know, I'm going to soak in as much as I can, learn as much as I can. And I'm just excited to, you know, to add as much value as I can. Obviously next week will be a little different. I'm pretty green and fresh, but hey, just sitting there and learning and seeing how it all works is going to be really cool for me, and I'm excited about it.
Thank you for the time today. Welcome back to Buffalo.
Appreciate it, Brian. Sounds good.
Tons of games, tons of points, lots of winning, and lots of experience in all areas, and experience to be gained. That's the takeaway here, is the open mind with which Eric Staal enters the next phase of his career, Marty, and that is special assistant to the GM.
Yeah, and I remember when Jason Spezza was deemed special assistant to Cal Dubas in Toronto. What Jason Spezza did, he was, I remember at the under 18, he was, you know, with the notebook, he was shown in the stands, he was taking notes, there was a scouting interest for him. Then it became more about player development, because now he's the assistant general manager to Cal Dubas, but general manager of Wilkes-Barre Scranton in the AHL. So there, it switched, right? It started with one thing where he was really into scouting the young amateur prospect eligible players, and then it transferred into more as his position and as his experience grew. I think for Eric Staal, it's the same thing. What are you good at? We don't know. And you don't know because you've not experienced it. So I feel like this will be the, you know, the first few months. Immerse yourself into everything. Go into now, because they're getting ready for the draft, that aspect of it. Then it's going to be free agency. How do you, you know, approach the pro side of it and the scouting and the players and the pro side? Then it's about the development. How do you, through the summertime, can see what players need to do to get better and develop? So get yourself involved into everything so that you can find your expertise area and then you can move into that. So it'll be interesting. But I think of Eric Staal just like I think of what Jason Spezza did for Toronto and now Pittsburgh.
What do you think he's going to help most with, though? Knowing Eric Staal the way you do. I mean, you have viewed him, known him a certain way over the course of the last 20 years. Like, what do you think he could really help with?
So the first thing I would say is going to help with people standing in front of the goalie in the crease, hitting them after the whistle, stepping on their hands, falling on them. Because I hated Eric Staal. I hated playing against him because that's what he did. That's what he always was. There's a big number 12 in front of you, falling on top of you, hitting you after the whistle, jabbing at the puck. Like, it was such a pain. You know what? So, yes, there's the player Eric Staal. I think he will bring in a little bit more of the player that are in the NHL right now. He mentioned it in the interview about, you know, analyzing and maybe getting a voice with some of the players that are available. The thing is that I found it when I retired, moving into what I'm doing now as an analyst. At first, you want to say nice things about everybody. Oh, that player is good. That player is good. But that's not what the job is like. The job is to be honest, be critical. Well, that wasn't good. No, this player, I'm not. So that's the biggest challenge, moving in from player to, you know, front office and special assistant to the general manager, is not everybody is good. Not everybody is a good fit. You have to be able to be decisive when it comes to that. And I think that's where he's going to bring the experience. That's the number one goal, number one thing for the Buffalo Sabres right now. Look, the draft is the draft, and player development is player development. How do you make this roster better? And if you're Kevin Adams, that's the number one goal. How do you make the roster better? Who do you add? Who is on the roster that not gonna work yet, not gonna cut it? You know, when Eric Staal can say, when I played against you guys, when I played against the Sabres, I can say, hey, that guy, we were able to say, hey, take advantage of this person. That's the honesty I think needs to be brought in so that they can make decisions.
Sure, but roster construction is ongoing. And at some point, it has to be about getting the most out of the people that are actually here. And it's going to be different next year than it was this year as far as personnel. And it'll change every single year. Like, what can Eric do to tweak the current group? Because once you're in it, you're in it. Like, you're not going to be... You know, nobody's Colorado every year and moving out half their team. And where did that get them? Exciting first round, but they didn't win, right? I'm just like...
I'll take exciting first round.
Yeah. You know what I mean here? Like, it's just like...
But that's the number one goal for me. Like, if you're bringing
Does his cameo in the organization as a player help him in any way with this opportunity?
The answer for me is no. The answer for me is no because... That's not what his job is about. His job is not to be in, help the players in the locker room. Anyway, the way I look at it, the way I see it, you know, say, okay, like have that communication with the players. No, his job is with Kevin Adams. His job is to look at the roster and say, how do we make this team better? His job is to maybe get involved with some of the amateur side of it and look at some of the younger players. Maybe he develops this love for scouting and this love for, you know, junior and college players and see what they have. And maybe he's really good at it. But right now, he talks about his relationship with Kevin. Kevin's number one job is to say, okay, how do I make this team better? And yes, I mean, maybe it's about our team is really good. We just need, you know, better power play. Our team is really good. We need better goaltending. But when you look at the whole thing for me is, well, our team has not made the playoffs now. And I know people are going to say 14 years, but I'm looking at Kevin Adams and I'm looking at as his time as GM. So this has been, what, 5 years for Kevin? So that team hasn't made the playoffs in those years. How do you make the team better? And if you're bringing into the organization like Eric Staal is, that's the number one thing you have to be able to fix. And to me, it's look at the roster and how do you move with that roster forward?
But it does sound like it's very open-ended, and
yes,
it could be a situation where Eric sits down and has a coffee with a current player and provides a different voice to a Jack Quinn, a J.J. Paterka, insert name here. So in that sense, I think, as brief as it was, and, you know, to paraphrase, you know, from Eric's standpoint, like from a results on the ice, unfulfilling standpoint because of everything that was happening in that COVID year, like maybe there is something that Eric saw then that, you know, can continue to be worked upon and improved. And again, this, you know, it's interesting. I find it interesting for Eric in the sense that he became the old person as a player, which undoubtedly shed new light on how younger players come in and handle the game. And then he also has three boys of his own that are playing right now, and he's never been outside of the realm of hockey, no matter what the age spectrum is here, right? So yeah. I think that's, you take that for what it is and try to, you know, try to find your way here, I guess. I mean, that's so, really, and look, I mean, we should acknowledge where, with Eric saying that he'll be here next week. I mean, the Amherst start next week in their series with Laval as the Rocket moved on last night past Cleveland in four games in that series. So the Amherst are going to host the first two games of the series. That goes next Wednesday and Friday at Blue Cross Arena. So one has to assume that one of the first things Eric's going to do beyond being involved in the amateur scouting meetings is heading to Rochester and checking out what the prospects are doing.
Yeah, I think that would be the first thing you would do. That's the most important thing right now is you get some amateur meetings. You get to watch your prospect and, you know, your AHL club, you know. But there's still a lot of questions in the air when it comes to, you know, where does the organization go now the next few weeks? You know, we've discussed, okay, what does the coaching staff look like? What's the rest of the organization looks like? Is there more people coming in? Is there not? That's the biggest thing. Now, you talk about communication with the players. You have a group of coaches that their job is to communicate with the players. And if you feel like the communication isn't the right approach and it's not getting, you know, the right results, then you got to look into your coaching staff and say, how do we make this coaching staff better to communicate with the players? Eric Staal could help with that and saying, okay, like I'm talking to some of the players, and I'm realizing that maybe there's the communication is not where it needs to be. I don't think that his job would be just go in the locker room and talk to the players, because that's the coach's job. That's right. Lindy Ruff and his staff. That's their job to make sure that they talk to the players. They have the right communication skills. They have the right results, the right process. So, but again, maybe you're evaluating that as well with Eric Staal, having conversation with players. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to have those conversations in the off season. It's a lot easier after practice in November to sit down next to Jack Quinn and talk to him. So, so I think that's probably going to be on the, you know, a little bit on the back burner when it comes to evaluating that part of it.
Right, and whether a person is in an official role or not, you could also look at it from the standpoint of any one of the members of the coaching staff picking up the phone and texting Eric Staal now in the organization, right? Like, it's not just a player thing that has to be addressed by the coach in tough moments. If somebody is looking for a different avenue, there's no different than you and most players having a parent in their life the entire way up. And no matter what five members of the coaching staff are saying to you, you still go out and converse with someone who makes it more comfortable for you, whatever, right? I'm just saying, like, you know, Eric could do anything here, and it remains, it's TBD, right?
It's TBD.
We're going to find out where he finds his path in all of this.
There's a lot of options, lots of different roads or ways this could go. It'll be interesting. The number one thing I would say to Eric Staal and to me is, you got to get yourself immersed in it. Like, it has to be. And I've gotten that from Bob Esenza when he retired, joined the Boston Bruins staff as goalie coach. And I said, Bobby, like, why don't you take a few years? He said, because you got to get yourself immersed in it. And I want to be in it. And now it's going to be 24/7 because I want to get better and I want to make an impact right away. And obviously at the start, then, you know, he had some success, won a Stanley Cup with the Bruins, their goaltending, Tuukka Rask, and you know, more and more. So I would say Eric Stahl. You got to get your looking for. What's that?
Tim Thomas is the name you're looking for.
Well, yeah, I was trying to see, did Bobby Sensen come in after? But he came in right as Tim Thomas was there. Yes, you're right. But then the other thing is that, okay, you're Eric Stahl. This is like, I'm sorry to say it, but you're going to be watching a ton of video. You're going to be in the meetings. It's, you got to get yourself immersed in it. Yeah. You thought you were busy when you were playing. This is going to be even busier. That's the only way things get done.
Right. And obviously the Bandits have been busy racking up titles, and they hope to do so again this year with a fifth straight trip to the finals. It opens up in Bandit Land a week from this Friday. That is May 16th, 7:30 p.m. And it'll be against Saskatchewan or Halifax. We'll find out that result this weekend. But right now, bandits.com/tickets to get in the barn for game number one of the National Lacrosse League finals. Again, it happens on Friday, May 16th. We're back after that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
All right, welcome back. We will get to some of the NHL talk pertaining tonight's games, Florida, Toronto, Dallas, Winnipeg, and last night's games. But I did want to follow up quickly on the mention of the Amherst schedule. They go 2-3 potentially in the next round, 2 at home, 3 on the road, and the best of 5 against Laval in the North Division final. Your thoughts as a player with this schedule setup, Marty?
Well, the schedule is very much like regular season schedule for the American League. You play Wednesday, you play on Friday. Now, it would have been like Friday, Saturday, or Friday, Sunday, and then you do again Wednesday, Friday, Sunday the next week. It's dragged on, like it's stretched out, but that's the AHL, and that's something that's always happened. So maybe you get more rest, maybe you get more prep in the way that it goes.
I think you're missing my question. Maybe I was on mute. when you're a player and you're not the number one seed, but you get to start on home ice for the first two games, is this advantageous or a disadvantage for the Amerks, who would then have to go to Laval for three straight games?
Again, it happens quite often in the American League because of building availability and other things that happen. I mentioned this, you know, when we played the Philadelphia Phantoms in 99 in the playoffs. We had home ice advantage. We started in Philadelphia. We played two there, and it was a best out of seven. We played two, then came home for three, went one game six, and then would have come back for game seven. It has happened a ton in the American League, those type of schedule. Mm-hmm. Now, I personally feel like this is it depends how it goes. At first look, I'm like, this is advantageous to the Rochester Americans. You get to start home. Maybe you win two games at home, and all you have to do is say, we only have to win one more on the road. We can do that. That's no problem. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, you lose one at home, and you're like, ooh, we got to win two out of three on the road to advance. Like, it all depends on how the first two games go to see if there's an advantage or not. At first look, I like it. Because you get to play home, you get to set the tone to the series and move on. But as we have seen now, like in the NHL, road team won both games last night. You know, there's very little.
In the first round, the home team won more than two out of three. So
yeah, but I'm just saying we moved on, and it happens. You could go in, and all of a sudden, you know, you lose a game at home, and it changes the complexity of the series. On paper, I don't mind it.
It's never goalie versus goalie because they don't shoot upon each other. However, what do you make of it being Devon Levi against Jacob Fowler? Now that Fowler came in back in last night, got the clinching game for Laval, one can presume with a whole lot of confidence that he's going to be the guy in the next round. So instead of Levi looking at a Primo at the other end, who had a terrific AHL season, a little bit older, challenge to get solidified at the next level. Now he's looking at, like, he might kind of be looking at, like, what he was 2 years ago, right? Like, it's
Not so much, not so far removed from what he is or what he was.
That's what I mean. Like,
this is Levi's second pro year. Fowler is like, okay, starting, so they're very close. They may be competitors for many, many years. When you look at Fowler's probably going to be the guy in Montreal in some years to be the, or they're hoping to, because he's that much of a prospect and a high-end prospect. And Levi is open to be the guy in Buffalo. So they're going to be competing, and that's the start of that rivalry. I think that's great. The biggest challenge here for the Rochester Americans is not knowing a lot of Fowler, not having played against Fowler, not having that experience. When you get to play the same team or the same goalies over and over again, you get a better look, a better book. And sometimes it's just a reaction, right? If you're Brett Murray, you're like, I'm in front of the net, I know what works on this goalie, I'm going to keep doing it. And all of a sudden, not the same goalie. Or Yuri Kulik hasn't seen Jacob Fowler. There's changes that happen. But I think that's the biggest challenge here is saying, hey, we've not seen that goalie. We have to really start to put in the work to be able to find some, you know, something that will work for us.
Amerks start a week from today on home ice. It's the 14th of May. It will be against Laval. Amerks host the first two games of the best of five, and we can't wait for that thing to get started 1 week from today. Top two teams in the North Division are squaring off. It was an ultra-tight season series in game. The results might suggest differently given how often Laval won, but the games themselves were incredibly competitive. Can't wait to see how it all plays out with what is obviously a different-looking Amerks lineup, with all the players back and presumably some even better health for this team, you know, based on the time off between the second round, which was just completed, and the third round, which lays ahead. All right, back into the NHL, which you were so willing to dive into. Ben Eager made his debut on Sabres Live today. Carolina wins 2-1 in overtime. And all I could think of amidst their 94-34 shot attempt advantage, Marty. What was I thinking last night as it pertained to Carolina?
This game was not in Carolina, so they must have traveled their statistician to Washington.
That's exactly it. I thought ESPN did a terrible job of conveying to the public that Carolina does, in fact, travel their statisticians, which is why the numbers were what they were.
So back in the days, Duffer, and I'm sure people in Buffalo remember this. So because of the fact that you had goal judges and off-ice officials in the playoffs, it would be off-ice officials from other building. So at the start of the game, they would announce tonight's off-ice official from the Hartford Whalers. You know, they would actually bring in the Hartford or the teams that are not in the playoffs or teams for, because they wanted impartial look at goal judging and time clock and all of that. So they didn't announce it before the game, but I'm pretty sure they said tonight's off-ice shot attempt official comes from the Carolina Hurricanes, although that's how the game was. Yeah. It was completely dominated by Carolina. Logan Thompson was unbelievable in the first period, in my opinion. That was the reason why it was still 0-0. Washington adjusted for a small second in the early second period how they were going to break the low cycle of Carolina, get the defenseman to jump in the, you know, halfway and be able to stop that. That led to the Protas goal. John Carlson gets in, breakout goal. Mm-hmm. But then Carolina decided, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go the high cycle. We're going to get the puck to the point, and we're going to get point shots because Washington is doing a good job on the low cycle, which led to the overtime game-winning goal from Slavin.
94-34, the shot attempts in favor of Carolina. 33-14, the on-goal shot totals in favor of Carolina. They get goals from Stankoven and Slavin, the latter the overtime winner. Protas had the tally for the Capitals. Protas also had the terrible pass into the feet of Alexiev that led to the Stankoven goal. So good and bad for Alexi Protas as he tries to be more of an impact player like he was during the regular season, of course, coming back from injury. Edmonton 4, Vegas 2, comeback fashion after the Golden Knights had a 2-0 lead. So those of you keeping tabs on this, this is 13 times in these playoffs already that a multi-goal lead has disappeared. And on this night, it wasn't even close. In fact, Marty, you could sense, if you were not watching the game on mute and listened to Bruce Cassidy's bench interview, even when they were leading, he was thoroughly not impressed with how the game was trending in favor of the Oilers, and they never got it back on home ice. This was as dominant a close game, in my opinion, as you can get. It just looked like Edmonton was eventually going to roll them out. It just took longer to do so with the game winner coming with 3 minutes left.
Yes. So you talk about coach's in-game interview. Chris Knobloch, the coach of the Oilers, had a very positive one when they were down 2-0.
Right.
They're like, what do you look? All we need is get a goal. Like, we're playing well, but we don't have anything to show for it. And boom, Dreisaitl gets a bit of a bounce from behind the goal line. He whacks it back. He knows what he's doing. He's like, I'm trying to go off a body, hopefully the goaltender, and put it in the net. It did. So then when they got that goal, I felt, you look at the Oilers and the matchup games. That was the first time Eichel and Stone were not on the ice against the McDavid and Dreisaitl line. Well, that led to a goal. And then after that, I felt like the McDavid-Dreisaitl line really took over. Eichel and Stone did not play as well defensively. They were able to get the 2-2 goal, and to me, that's Zach Hyman. That was a nice play. Corey Perry. Actually, it was the 2-1 goal was the Perry goal, and then Dreisaitl made it 2-2. Sorry, but the Perry goal was excellent. But I look at the Oilers. Calvin Pickard. We talked about goaltending. He gives up what is a terrible goal. He's 5-0. Yeah, unbelievable.
Five straight wins. He's the only goalie that has rattled off a long streak here, and it continues.
But the goal to Stone was a bad goal. Like, it's a 3-on-3, comes in. He's given up one of those a game, but it has not flustered him and not flustered the Oilers. And then he just says, okay, I'm fine. I'm just going to let the puck hit me a couple of times. Now, Vegas only had one shot in the second. It wasn't like they put a lot on him, but he's still doing his job. He's collecting the wins, moving on. I felt like that was good. No Alex Pietrangelo in the game, by the way, because he was sick. That may have affected a little bit of maybe the defending against McDavid and Dreisaitl, but at the end of the day, this was a perfect type of game for the Oilers?
In all due respect to Pietrangelo, when I say it shouldn't, it's because I have infinite belief in how the defense corps is constructed and if any team can withstand an absence. And look, they held Edmonton to 28 shots. They themselves were held to 17. So the two losing teams last night combined for 31 shots on goal. Our old way of saying it is be better to both the Capitals.
Do better.
Do better. If you want a better
you know
result.
What? Yeah. Referees have to do better. There was a so Ryan Nugent-Hopkins got a 4-minute high sticking penalty early in the first period that nobody put their arms up for. And if Hurdle doesn't come up with a little blood on his face, they probably don't stop the play. And then there was another one where they were going to call Trent Frederick for a high stick. And it was Johnny Murray, the linesman, number 95, that came in, put his arm around Kelly Sutherland and was like, no, 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 that's not a penalty. Like, I'm like, seriously, guys, like, be better, do better, because that, that was two big moments in a game that could have changed and gone the other way.
Indeed. It didn't go the Colorado Avalanche way in round one, but Jared Bednar will return as head coach. And in a related slash unrelated development, David Carl has signed a multi-year contract extension to remain with the Pioneers of Denver at the NCAA level. So scratch one name off the coaching carousel board who might have been going to the NHL. Tonight, Florida is at Toronto. Dallas is at Winnipeg. We have 30 seconds to get this out of you.
Okay, so let's start with the Winnipeg Jets. Scheifele looks like he's going to go tonight. Josh Morrissey remains out, apparently. So that's help offensively. But Morrissey's a big part of their blue line. So, and Logan Stanley's still not back in. So that's that. And Florida, well, they're getting Aaron Ekblad back. So that's the one thing that's going to help them. I didn't think they were good in the first game. Early on, and then they got better late, but it was too late. So I think Florida ties it up tonight, and I think Dallas, to me, is the better team. If Morrissey's not there, it's going to be tough against the Dallas Stars.
Quick timeout. Great story when we come back on Sabres Live.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
It is true that we love the game and on some days are very inspired by individuals within the game, but our greatest source of inspiration often comes from those in the fight, especially the youngest such fighters. Andre the Warrior first became known to us more than 5 years ago, Marty. And yes, after 5 years, his mom's words of surveillance, he is cancer-free. And we have been waiting for this day to see Andre and his family ring the bell, which they did yesterday at Roswell. So to Andre, brother DJ, mom Alex, and dad Rich, this is the type of moment that brings us the greatest joy.
Yeah, it's amazing. And there was such an unbelievable amount of support for Andre the Warrior to ring the bell, at Roswell, obviously. But what is so much more fun is the fact that when the season starts next year and him and his family come by the set and sit down with us and watch a period, we'll be able to just, do it knowing that he's rung the bell and he's, been cleared. And that's awesome.
Indeed. We love Andre the Warrior. We'll see you tomorrow on Sabres Live.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, we got to run a business and we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because I think most of us, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.